with your Rosie the River looking ass today?
You like my fucking neckerchief? Damn. It's faulty, man.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, a reverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
This is episode 247 of this podcasting experience, and today we have four albums. You know, we've been skimping a little bit in the content just to have bonus episodes of the Wazoo for Members Appreciation Month, and even the freeloaders, the organics that we love so much very well, who are not Syndicate 23 members at join.syndicate23.co, are getting some of these wonderful bonus episodes, the 1975 bonus, the Arctic Monkeys bonus, etc. But the Junior Boys bonus will be exclusive. That is with Bam, who from PowerPoint, We Made It podcast, so make sure you check that out by becoming a Syndicate 23 member at join.syndicate23.co. But later in this episode, four albums, Only Built for Infinity Links by Quavo and Takeoff, an offset Les Migos, Coping Mechanism by Willow Smith, Cherry by Daphne, also Caribou, also like 30 other names, and Chaos Now, asterisk, by Gene Dawson. A lot of interesting titled names, really interesting week, and we have no singles, and I kind of just did plugs kind of carefully, although before the podcast gets too tainted, let me just say to also check out Power Report Live with Bam and I. We are about to, just like we're about to in a moment, talk about Kanye West. We did a lot more conversation about that in that PowerPoint episode, so we're going to leave most of that for there, so check that out there. Got more important things to do, but youtube.com/danfortheinternet or powerreport.world for all the links to the podcast or the video YouTube show. And we're streaming every Thursday on Twitch, twitch.tv/danfortheweb. And thank you, Peter, for mixing and mastering every episode of Audio Face and PowerPort. At PJS Mixed It for all of your music mixing and mastering needs. Oh boy. So Kanye West opened his big fat dumb mouth again, and
oh lord,
he went on Tucker Carlson for what was supposed to be a 30-minute interview, ended up being a 2-hour interview, and since then he has just been trying to say whatever he can to get attention. He's basically been playing the right-wing playbook, because we also got a note from the beginning of the week. He did the Paris Fashion Week show thing with Candace Owens, where he wore White Lives Matter, like, crew neck sweatshirt, again, to get a reaction. It was obviously just to get people to respond to it. And, of course, people were going to take the bait, but I tried my best not to take the bait. And then he went on Tucker Carlson for the two-parter, and that was just the most ridiculous aspect of it. Because he just ranted and went off. And Tucker Carlson was like, is this someone who sounds crazy to you? Meanwhile, he's babbling about like a bunch of different things going like out of mind or whatever. It's like, this is a person who sounds perfectly sane. He just cares about his family. He's a Christian. And the left is trying to silence him. Which is fairly transparent. It's like the only things Tucker Carlson really cared about in that interview. But
of course,
Kanye has still continued to make an even bigger ass of himself in ways I didn't even think imaginable. He has taken to Instagram to voice his feud that he's having with, who is it? I forget one of these. Like, he was having a feud with Diddy, that was right. And he posted the messages because that's the thing Ye does. And Tucker, he even admitted this in the Tucker Carlson interview, that he has to be an asshole and like post these screenshots from his messages in order to get attention anymore. But he posted that, implying that Diddy was controlled by the Jews. And this only goes downhill from here. I'm laughing because of how utterly ridiculous and like left field this is. But this morning he posted a tweet and delete. He nearly got banned from this. He was already has his profile features limited from Instagram. But before you jump in, Sean, he posted to Twitter last night, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people in all caps. The funny thing is, I can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jews, so you guys toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who opposes your agenda, end quote. Sorry, he follows that up by saying, who do you think created cancel culture? Sean, would you like to answer that question?
in the words of Kendrick Lamar, what the fuck is cancel culture? Second off, I'm nominating Kanye for the Hard R Award for all of this just absolute
bigotry in music. Yes,
bigotry, literally, like bigotry in music, like all of this just blatant anti-Semitism and everything, and blatant racism and all that, just for attention. And it's just like, it's hard to watch, hard to hear. Also, second thing, Dan, in the words of Kanye, are you Jewish? Is that how that works?
Yeah, black people are actually Jew. This goes back to Hebrew Israelite stuff, or as Jimmy Dore calls it, Hebrew national stuff, which I'm not even going to get into. And so,
yeah, that's a separate rabbit hole. We are not going down. We are not. I'm not ready for that. The podcast isn't ready for that.
Yeah, I will never, like, that was definitely one of the most slapstick moments producing the hell that was producing for Jimmy Dore, was when he was trying to refer to the Hebrew Israelites in New York, who are like the black, you know, Jewish people. And not all black Jewish people are Hebrew Israelites, by the way. I'm not going to go down that different rabbit hole, because this is just rabbit hole audio face, apparently. But yeah, no, Jimmy Dore was the straight face giving the entire segment by saying Hebrew nationals. And everyone in the control room was like, bruh does not know he's giving free hot dog ads right now.
Honestly, literally, I'm like, you want some hot dogs with that?
I did not know we were going to the ball game. Anyways, but now, in seriousness here, and this comes after, and this is a very deliberate thing. I want people to make this clear. It's a very deliberate thing. This is more than just, oh, Kanye's having an episode. No, Kanye knows what Trump figured out, which is that he can get us tension by saying crazy shit. And so he went on Tucker Carlson and he said, oh, the reason that Jared Kushner made all those deals when he was working for Trump in the White House with Israel, oh, you know, it's probably just to make money, because, you know. And he even paused and he was like, oh, am I allowed to say that on this network? And then Tucker Carlson just like smugly smiled and went, no, this is free speech. You're allowed to say whatever you want to. and like in another point where like Kanye does one of those pauses where he's like, oh, I said something controversial, can I say that, am I allowed to say that, being all cute like, oh, did I do that, teehee, like Tucker goes, oh no, you totally keep going. I think maybe Bam may have gone this close in saying that Tucker was doing a dance monkey dance during the entire thing, because that was how the entire interview felt.
That was, yeah, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Just horrible.
So, yeah, the more, and of course, this is getting all of the worst people's attention. Elon Musk responded to Kanye on Twitter saying that, like, oh, he is a, oh, welcome back to Twitter, my friend, now that Ye was coming back to Twitter and Elon Musk may or may not be buying Twitter soon. But this thing about anti-Semitism and rap music, really fast, I want to get into as like a larger thing, because I mean, we've seen it in very recently in 21 Savage's song, I Don't Need No Host.
You get burned like toast. I don't drink no liquor, but I'm smoking no mimosa. Yeah. We been getting that Jewish money, everything is kosher. Okay. Bought myself a Venador and bought my bitch a roaster.
Where he's talking about that he has Jewish money, that all of it's kosher. It was even LeBron James tweeted out that lyric and got a bunch of flack for it, and had to apologize, in addition to 21 Savage's apology. There's, of course, the story of OJ by Jay-Z, where he has that interlude.
You want to know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit. You ever wonder why Jewish people own all the property in America? That's how they did it.
I'm not even going to repeat that, because it is just following this anti-Semitic trope.
Pretty bad. Yeah.
I will repeat the point, because it's the anti-Semitic trope of, literally quoting Jay-Z, Jewish people owning all the property in America. It's highly anti-Semitic, and it continues. Gucci on My with with this Quavo, 21 Savage, I think, again. I think Mike Will Made It produces this. But there's the Quavo lyric that goes,
taking pictures, shit, strike a pose, nigga, flinch. $1 million lawyer Jews, can't wait to dismiss them. True, spin by the dub.
$1 million lawyer Jews, can't wait to dismiss them. We was talking about a lawsuit,
and then the ad lib of Jews.
Yes, it's literally there. And then I had to Google this and dig, because I know this song in my head, because I remember my reaction to it listening for Audio Face, was literally like that meme where you're just like ripping your headphones off, like in the middle of that, because underrated by Offset, because literally it's just like after, just like non sequitur, after like a new verse starts like this.
Swimming through the blues, trying to get more richer than the jewels. Ain't no books in the book bag, it's a ooze. Why your bitch look at me?
Swimming through these blues, trying to get more richer than the Jews. And so this is like casual anti-Semitism is a big problem in rap music. It doesn't stop with Kanye West, but I really didn't produce that. I didn't research that. That was honestly just the audio face hits of shit we've been talking about for the entire 5+ year span this fucking podcast. But like people besides us with bigger platforms than us need to talk about this larger problem, because I mean, this is not to give Kanye a pass here at all, though, because he is being an idiot, but this is a larger issue that, you know, it's easy to just like sort of like laugh at and go, oh, they're being ignorant and stupid and they don't know this history about. But it's a common thing, and it's within like a lot of cultures that's very ignorant. And we see where this ignorance gets us in this point in America. Not to make it all serious, but like, this is audio face. That's the intersection of this shit.
It's just, yeah, that's something we've been saying for a minute, though, just the rampant anti-Semitism that's in trap and rap that no one calls out, and it's there, and now it's starting to get in the face of people, so it needs to get out more, and at least that mentality, and then the just kind of pushing it under the rug or not really bringing it up to attention needs to stop.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to pay attention to what Ye said, as always, and think it's going to be influential. He's like hyping up a presidential run. He's not saying whether he likes Trump or DeSantis or whatever, but again, it's for attention. It's probably for a botched album rollout. And of course, there's some ugly stuff involving info with his kids, and it's super messy and gross, and I kind of wish it stopped. But the fact that he's tapped on anti-Semitism is just a whole new low. Really awful. Sad for him. Even for him. Also, super last thing, it's not just him being bipolar, because you don't like, it's like the Roseanne Barr defense. You don't just take your meds and have mental illness and all of a sudden become a virulent bigot or a racist or an anti-Semite. These are things you're thinking about. And this is drugs in general. These are feelings and emotions and responses that are already within you. It's just coming out real, real right now because your inhibitions are lowered, right? All right. So that's all that is. In the words of Kanye, find God. But seriously, Ye, seek help. Professional mental health. Speaking of professional mental health, let's go to our first album, Only Built for Infinity Links by Quavo and Takeoff. Migos, yeah. Offsetless. Migos. 18 songs, 59 minutes long. And Sean, let's dust off this old bad boy. We listen to this album, so you don't have to.
You don't have to. It's
Can I tell you,
rough.
So this album was clearly made from a discussion. The three Migos, they got together, and this was clearly a conversation they had where they realized they couldn't be a band together. They all got in their heads that they could all be better off apart. And so they've all done solo careers with varying levels of success, mostly failure. They did Culture 3 as a comeback record that was, you know, largely, I mean, like, no Migos record is really good. Like, the albums are all really bad and bloated and bougie. But there's definitely, like, a point where their earlier stuff was, yeah, they were hitting in the beginning, and then the more you continue this idea, it did not have a lot of steam as you continue to blow it out. Nevertheless, you have this album. It's very much in your face about the idea of, yeah, we don't need Offset. We are doing this project ourselves. And it is not only a bad album, but I feel like it's just one of the most horrendous wastes of money since whatever DJ Khaled most recently released, because there's some really big features. There's a big production sample in here that I'm going to get to in just a moment that seems like a complete waste of time and money, like I said. And there's no song on here that is it doesn't catch the like Migos magic or spark. Not necessarily that it needs Offset, but like I said, like the Migos magic or spark hasn't been around since 2017 at the latest.
Yeah, it really hasn't. And it, like, example, To Infinity Links, like, it just sounds like Migos light. Like, that's all it is. Just something that you would hear 5-6 years ago and get pumped for, but now in 2022, towards the tail end of 2022, it's like, all right, why be better? It keeps going up. You have like See About It with Mustard. You're like, oh yeah, this is definitely Migos track. You're like, all right, whatever. And To the Bones featuring YB himself.
Which is very funny to say YB is better, because YB can't even say this right.
No, it's like, why he gets on it. I can imagine YB in the studio, like, I'm just here to collect my check. I'll do what I need to do, and I'll get the hell out of here.
Like, I can imagine this is what every young artist feels like when they're just leeching money off of an old artist who wants to cling onto relevancy. It's very much like a, it's like a sugar daddy situation, too. It's like a, let's just get this over with. Let's do doggy so I don't have to look at your face. Unconfew Hotel Lobby was really bad, but I want to get into Bars into Captions, which uses the So Fresh So Clean sample from Outkast, which, if you're gonna rock that sample, that is one of maybe the top 50, top 25 hip-hop rap songs ever made. You need to, like, own up to that. No features, no lyrical thought at all. It's one of those, like, this could be a Drake song. Mm-hmm. And Drake might actually have done it better. Unless you're going for money. Now this our first time in Atlanta. Bounce that ass for the camera. Wear your helmet. You know it ain't shit sweet off in Atlanta. This the city. You know this where the trappers turn to rappers. Don't tolerate no capers. Turn these bars into caps. And we are creatures that come from another planet. Creature. The rocket ship take off. I'm about to land it. Take off. I gotta stick the switches automatic. I ain't never average. Keep that shh in the attic. Don't tell me lies. They would have
definitely done it better.
It's not, like, only not even bad, it's disrespectful to rap music in general. But, like, whatever. I'm sure Outkast and the producers got their check. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like, is that everyone, top to bottom, looked at Quavo and Takeoff like, these are the two dumbest suckers in the music industry, and we're going to bleed them for every bit of money they can, every ounce, of, like, every red cent we can for a shitty album.
It's bad, and just save your time. Don't listen to it. Us versus them with the Goose is Loose himself, Gucci Mane, is one of the worst scenes I've heard in a long time. Who you think gonna win? Ooh. If it's us versus them, who you think gonna win? If it's us versus them, who you think gonna win? It's like quality control bad. And,
well, it is quality control.
That's true. And, just don't listen to it. Save yourself some time. There's a lot of music in the world, and you don't need to listen to it.
Yeah.
Just wanted to prove a point.
Yeah. We haven't made an example in a while, and this is that example. Next album, we have Left Carrot, Coping Mechanism, all caps, Right Carrot by Willow, all caps. 11 songs, 29 minutes long. And Willow Smith is an artist who is not an industry plant at all, but like literally like the textbook definition of it. Like, to me, yeah. I think of Willow, I think of the Whip My Hair back and forth song from like 10, 15 years ago. That was like her original breakout success musical thing. But I also very much think of Willow as, okay, you are the kid of a superstar celebrity. I'm not even going to get into the Will Smith, Chris Rock stuff right now, because there's power courts about that, right? But, like, you're the kid of a celebrity. So, of course, the kid of a celebrity, I'm sorry, especially the kid of a rich celebrity, does not have to try in their life at all. And so they can just start life with the side missions and just do the side missions. So usually that side mission, especially in LA, is music, and you get that access to you very easily. And what you usually get is like a bunch of lackluster projects that kind of lead out through that. Yeah. Willow's been kind of interesting because she's been able to make this sort of like different space that's been a little bit avant-garde, but still very much like, you know, relating to teens and that sort of outset of music. So it's a little bit limiting in that regard. This album is very interesting. There's aspects of it that I like. It was definitely not what I was expecting. It's not a pop record.
It's not pop whatsoever. And I was shocked, actually, when I listened to this. I was expecting to put it on. I was expecting to, like, want to hate it. I was like, all right, let's go in. And she gives us, like, actually a pretty cool emo indie inspired record. And, like, she has a track with Yves Tumor, which I'll get to in a little while and stuff. And it's this, you know, as indie, as me just looking at this as artist music and everything, like, it's a pretty decent, like, indie record for what it is. Like, this is the indie that I like to have, where you are kind of combining genres, experimenting, getting out there. There's some parts I don't really like, and there's some parts I thought actually were very clever and good. Like, the opening track, maybe it's my fault. I listened to it, and I was like, oh, it's like a really, like, you know, late 2000s, early 10s, like, emo track or whatnot that you'll get. And I was like, oh, whoa, all right. I was not expecting that at all. It's not necessarily my taste for it, but in the context of the record, actually, I think it fits well, because there's a lot of avant-garde and weirdness you get. Example, Falling Endlessly, you get to that track, and I'm like, this sounds like something that, like, maybe Yves Tumor would try to make, but just he would, like, do a little bit different spin on it and everything. But then later on that record, I was like, oh my God, they're on it. That's really cool. Yeah. But more on that a little bit. And I was like, just very, very thrown for a loop.
I think Curious Furious, the third track, encapsulates everything I like and dislike about the album, because it's pulling from a lot of different genres. It has a lot of that inspiration. It's rock without too much rock. It's definitely well-rooted in indie, and that's a lot of what Willow has done as an artist since Whip My Hair. Definitely, I don't want to unfairly mischaracterize Willow as just the Whip My Hair girl, because she's done 10 years of definitely really interesting indie music that doesn't fail the Rex Orange County test of, like, kind of sounding too similar to indie, but also doesn't really pass that, you know, Yves Tumor sort of, like, test of being, you know, super out there, really amazing, very good. I'd even put Perfume Genius under this ranking, and a couple other artists who are, like, really pushing things out there. But yeah, Willow said that for this record, artists like Yves Tumor.
It depends what region you're from, actually.
Yeah, so I've heard Willow talk about Yves Tumor as a little bit of an inspiration for this record, and so getting to work with them on Perfectly Not Close makes it make a lot of sense. Really, just the worst thing about that song is it's too short.
Yeah, that's how I wanted to get to it. I wish it was longer, because it was good. And I was like, damn it, why'd it end already?
Yeah, it's great. It's the wonderful blending of them together. It works really well in the album as, like, a climax sort of thing, because it's sort of building up to this sound. To have it have that sound really makes it good. And ultimately, the record is, yeah, a darker exploration of darker themes, darkness within the self, than a lot of pop records usually do, or a lot of pop style records usually do. So I do commend Willow for breaking out there, trying to be a little bit against the grain in that regard. But I will also admit that this is a better time to do that, because of indie artists who have been making, you know, dark indie things become more popular just through the way they're doing things. Through pop artists such as, like, Billie Eilish, for example, who are taking darker themes and bringing them to a musical light. So when I listened to this album a second time especially, I just realized, okay, I'm impressed, but not so much to say that, oh, this is a great album. I, like, highly recommend this. This is very memorable. I'm just like, you know, it's partially the soft bigotry of low expectations, but partially also, this is a good record. It's just decent, like you said in the beginning. It's not necessarily great. I wouldn't even necessarily write home about it.
Yeah, but, like, for... So she's only 20 as well, so she still looks very, very young. But for someone who has been in that spotlight and everything, and we both expected just either a neo-pop or a very easy-listen pop record or something where it's like, all right, whatever. She gave us this, and I go, cool, keep experimenting, keep doing different things. Like, I commend you for it. I'm glad that she went out of left field and picked Yves Tumor, one of our favorite artists, to get inspiration from, because I think they're making some of the most inspirational, experimental music that you can get ideas out of and everything. So hopefully she goes more into this realm of indie music and everything and can try different stuff, add some electronics to it, and get some better ideas. It's good.
Yeah, if anything, I just want to see Willow push herself further, because...
Exactly, keep pushing.
Yves Tumor is the right kind of person. Yves Tumor is the bleeding edge of this kind of indie genre, like really pushing it forward. I really commend them. You don't need to be exactly like them, but you have that there, and to, you know, it just feels like underutilized energy. But, you know, solid project overall. And I can agree with Sean there that, like, it's not even a good start. Like I said, like, they've had projects and albums for the past, like, several years now, but it's decent. It's very decent. Mm-hmm. Arbitrary Scale, we do Arbitrary Scales every week on Audio Face because our review is our review. We just told you how we feel about it, so to make it nice and concise but to also piss you off and not give you an actual ranking system to work off of, we change it every single week. This week it's going to be 2000s rapper political write-ins. Who would we write in for office if they were, but the only qualification is that they were rappers from the 2000s.
This is a Mac Dre.
Oh god.
Dragonomics, baby.
This is gonna be that's a very, very good pick. Wow. This is gonna be Big Boy.
Ooh. Okay, I like it.
Yeah. Like Big it. Boy on the radio and Big Boy in the streets. Anyways, next up, we have Cherry by Daphne. It is 14 songs, 47 minutes long, and Daphne is the alter ego, one of many alter egos. I'm not even going to get into Wingdings, but it's an alter ego of Caribou, who we've done a bonus episode of. So actually, Syndicate 23 members should go and check out that bonus episode. You can get the entire archive of Audio Face episodes. But his real name is Daniel Snaith, and he is a prolific electronic music producer. Definitely has been around for a long time. He's about 44, 45 years of age, if I can remember off the top of my head. And he is very well, you know, he's very well accomplished. But he releases different styles of music under his different pseudonyms. Caribou is definitely the more mainstream, more well-known one, but still a little bit, you know, underground, so to speak. But it's very lush, electronic, upbeat. It's very, very front-facing. Daphne, on the other hand, is the pure, like, house dance music. Like, Sean's doing the pinched hand gesture sort of thing, the perfect sort of deal. And Cherry is one of those records you really kind of really want for, especially as a house music fan, which is an album that plays through like a live house mix.
Exactly.
Not only the thoughtful transitions, but the thoughtful placement of songs.
It's beautiful. It's just, you could tell someone like Caribou, who's been in the game for so long, has done so many different house mixes and everything, and through Daphne has done so many different sounds and ideas, knows how to mix a record. But this is just like everything I like to indulge in house and EDM into one record. The first, like the opening track, Arrow, oh. Yeah. love that as an opening track. Like, if you're mixing something right, you're in the club, whatever, and you open that up with that, you know exactly what you're getting. You just, everybody's just like, boom, instantly just chilling, just bopping your head, having a good time. Cherry, the second song, I really like it now because as a single by itself, I was like, it's interesting. But I mean, here in the context of the record and the way it's popped in between Arrow and Always There, it's like actually a perfect placement for it. So it's not
a great
like,
song to get the album going.
Yeah, exactly. And I just love some of the really interesting beats you get, different sounds and everything. It's a wonderful record. And as Dan was alluding to earlier, like it plays through very, very well. Like everything's cohesive. It's, you know, it's 47 minutes long, but the tracks don't feel overtly long. And that's one thing with house you can get a lot is very, very long, repetitive tracks, which if it's not your thing, I understand, but we both really like that. But even with like, you know, my testing for a record, which is put on shuffle and see what happens. Like I put this record on shuffle and it's still played through pretty well. There's a couple awkward moments maybe here and there, but that's just...
That's to be expected because you're playing
That's
shuffle.
What you expect. Exactly. But it still is cohesive, which for a house record and everything is pretty hard to do. We have tracks like Crimson, Mania, Take Two that are fantastic.
Slow down a minute, cool. Squirrely Dan, because there's a lot to go into. A lot of times on an album, and especially in an Audioface album review, I'll talk about song placement and what order songs should be in. Not a damn thing changed. Plastered, set in stone, absolutely perfect.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
That's kind of like a response to the shuffle thing Sean's saying, because that's a thing Sean does methodically in his reviews, where he puts an album on shuffle at least once. This case, you can. Like, it all thematically works together, but like, I would rather play it, honestly, as one 47-minute song.
Yep.
And I would rather treat it like that, because it is a very thoughtful house mix. Now, more on that in a moment, but I'll say my favorite combinations of songs are when we go from Crimson to Mania, because in order for Crimson and Mania to actually work together as songs, they're very different vibes. You need Art Blocks and you need Falling. Art Blocks continues kind of where Crimson leaves off, and then between Art Blocks and Falling, you get sort of a mood change. And so together those songs are Art Blocks and Falling, together those songs are just under 3.5 minutes long. So in the grand scheme of like your real meaty house tracks that like Cherry, which is 5 minutes, Mania, which is 3.5 minutes. I mean, like that's a 3.5 minute transition. So it's a little bit short, a little bit long, arguably, but it really, really helps everything go through. Second favorite transition. What happens from Mona to Clavicle to Cloudy? Because that is just nuts. I like the way that Clavicle just bleeds into Cloudy very well, but you wouldn't expect it because Clavicle works well with Mona and, you know, the more chaotic parts of the record, like Mania and Take Two, because they, again, because you have those thoughtful transitions. You're thinking, okay, I have this song coming up and it's going to create this mood on the dance floor. So I'm going to tease it by including elements of this, but I can't just throw it on the dance floor because that's a totally different reaction. I want to ease them into it. So I'm going to play this different thing to transition. That's thoughtful. That really separates, you know, like the press play DJs that you see at a lot of electronic music festivals.
To actually mixing.
Yes.
Actually having an idea of what it sounds like. Like, example, my favorite track on here by far is Take Two. Take Two is like a modern take on French Touch, which is my favorite subgenre of house. Like that's literally what I grew up listening to, is the whole Cratemore label. And that's like actually a conversation I'd love to have on this podcast at some point, is just all of like our house upbringings and stuff. But like when I listened to Take Two, I just sat there and like for a second, just like frozen of like, I feel like I'm a kid again. And I'm just like so happy with how it sounds. Somebody mixed up French Touch, but put a modern twist on it. And again, like you said, like you go from Take Two to Mona to Clavicle. Like those transitions and everything, because example, take two to cloudy, like they're all very, very different vibes. One is just like, you know, hectic and crazy. The other one's more chill house, but with the way that he transitions through each track and everything transitioned through it, it's beautiful and it plays out so nice.
In the words of Ghost producer Kyle, Cloudy is such a dirty little track, but I really love it. Like, it's so good. It's very simple with just that piano and that bass loop in the background. But when I say that's going to be this year's shining collarbone for me, where it's my brain's hold music when I have no actual thoughts in it, when I go to my Spotify Unwrapped and it's like, oh, you listened to this song 3,400 times, it's probably going to end up being Cloudy by Daphne, just because it's very simple, very good beat, but it's a nice, like, dirty, like, deep, beautiful, not deep house, but like deep bass, pre, like, classic house music. Now, that's the thing, is that this album is kind of unapologetically what it is. It's a house record that is calling back to the oldest, like, kind of hits of house from the 80s, 90s, aughts, and trying to put, like, modern touches here and there, kind of in there. That's kind of, you know, it's a great record, but it's an album that is purposely constraining itself, and it does such a good job at what it is. I almost wish it was pushing itself forward, because the reality is electronic music doesn't sound like this at all. You're not going to get anything like this at an electronic music festival, and like, that's a shame, because a lot of stuff you get at EDM festivals is just total dog shit. But there's a lot of stuff, really, really a lot of stuff that's great. We've been talking about this year especially. Swedish House Mafia, Fred Again, like a number of different, different artists who are really good out there who are... And then techno's having its own different scene right now that's definitely not for everyone, but I think it's interesting, and other artists are... other EDM artists are incorporating newer techno into their music as well. But I think there could have been opportunities in here as well, and you can make an argument for Take Two doing that a bit, but my biggest complaint, I'd say, about this album that is otherwise just really good, so it's a nitpick, honestly, is that it feels a little bit predated, like an aged cheese.
I don't think it's predated. I think it's one of the things where... it's on the border of being Uncle Rappy. It's right at that limit where it's doing just enough different to not sound like a complete, like, 2001 record, right? But it's paying homage to all the sounds of someone who's been in the game for 20, 30 years, right? So that's the thing I like about it. It's an example, like Take Two. Like, it's a modern interpretation of French Touch. Now, if you made it a little bit more fuzzier and had, like, more, like, record-popping sounds in it, then I'd be like, oh, well, then this is just, like... a Nights on Ice track or something. Like, okay, well, it's nothing that I haven't heard before, but it's just small slight adjustments to be unapologetically what it is.
And I do like the Take Two. It's like it feels like a French Touch track, but just the way the drums are thumping in it, just the kind of BPM speed of it, it feels a little bit more modern in that way. And I think Always 100%. There works a little bit like that as well. So I think I tip the hat a little bit to Daphne, Daniel, whatever, in this, but I just don't know. I mean, outside of us and, like, house music lovers, I just don't feel like it's going to have that broad of an appeal, but I think that's okay, because again, this is a side project of Caribou, of Daphne, of, like, Daniel. He's allowed to kind of do these things and have them in their kind of, like, bubble, so to speak. If this were released as Caribou, I would say, wow, this is kind of a miss as a Caribou project. This would have been done as a side thing. But this is a side thing, and I'll say that, okay. It's an absolute hit for a side thing. The cons are that, you know, other than a couple songs, I may not come back to this, but I think it's a great album for me to just, like, listen to and get some work done for, 47, 50 minutes.
I'm definitely coming back to this record a lot, so I love it. Thank you for making me fall in love with house again.
Definitely. Not my fault. But anyways, Arbitrary Scale. Arbitrary Scale is every week on Arbiface, because our review is our review. And if you don't get what we already said in that review, so we're going to give you a ranking scale to use. That's going to be completely useless. This is going to be 2000s rapper political write-ins. This is going to be my...
This is gonna be, I know mine.
It's going to be my Posse from De La Soul.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It's this yours. Is my Wyclef Jean.
That's
even though I think he's Haitian, so I don't think I could technically write him in, but I don't give a fuck. No.
We could change the rules for that. We're about to for Schwarzenegger anyways.
I mean, Schwarzenegger's a governor, so you know. Wyclef Jean can run for some type of public office.
Yeah, it is a write-in of some kind. It doesn't necessarily need to be that. Anyways, last album, we have Chaos Now! Asterisk by Gene Dawson. 13 songs, 35 minutes long. We do love us a short album. And Gene Dawson is a little bit newer on the scene and quite an interesting sound. I'd say this is his, like, third-ish album. These products have all been under 40 minutes, so 35 is about right. And this is pretty good, actually. Like, I didn't know what to expect.
I like it.
I didn't know what to expect coming into it. I was honestly thinking, oh, this is probably going to be like a rap trappy kind of record. But I mean, as the hint gives off with kind of the black boy with the, it looks like a bass guitar, but I think that could easily be a regular guitar either.
No, I think it's a Jaguar.
Yeah.
A Fender Jaguar.
Yeah. It is a very rock-inspired record. A pretty heavy record, too.
Yeah, pretty heavy. I would say it's like, it's that hard indie. It's that hard, like, emo indie where you're blending, like, shit, what's his face? I can't think of, although, like, almost like Lil Peep style, but a lot more thought out than some of his work. In the last decade.
Not quite a Juice WRLD emo, though, because that Juice WRLD would be a little bit too SoundCloud rap, like trappy.
Yeah, no, this definitely has like some SoundCloud rap like hints here or there, but it's very few in that way. But it's the same kind of energy with it, just bringing it out of more indie and rock tropes than SoundCloud, if that makes sense. That's kind of what you get with this. There's actually a pretty... Actually, there's a lot to dive in with this. The real opening track, Three Heads, it's pretty fast, but it's like that nice, you know, having almost spoken word rap with a lot of guitar and heavy rock with it. It's good, actually. I really like it, where I don't feel like there's a lot of people that could really pull it off. Like, you have your Machine Gun Kellys and stuff that are just absolute ass with it. But with this is the way you really experiment with it. You have a lot of ideas. You have a lot of things you bring into it. And you stay true to yourself, and you make a record like this. Glory is another good track where it kind of slows it down a little bit, and it has a nice drum beat. And then it gets more heavy as you go on with it. It's just, as Dan said earlier, with the title of the record, Chaos Now, it's very chaotic. There's a lot of different sounds, a lot of abrupt changes within the tracks, but it's cohesive. It fits well together. It plays out well. Even for being as chaotic and avant-garde in the way it is, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think I love Glory and Kids EP, and like how Three Heads
kind of
do it, but like
it's good.
Yeah, I would say I'm going to now use Gene Dawson as my, I don't like Machine Gun Kelly, this is the closest I can work with you on. It's like,
well, this is honest, well, this is what Machine Gun Kelly wants to be, but he's not. It's blending of like emo indie with punk with SoundCloud rapping, and
I wouldn't even call
some
this SoundCloud rapping, because this is like the same way that Zach De La Rocha and Rage Against the Machine were inspired by hip hop music. Like, this is like inspired by musically and rap music. And I think like Gene Dawson is like, you know, less inspired by rap music than maybe Zach De La Rocha, just like for a number of different reasons, right? But I would say that this musically is not trying to be SoundCloud rap, because it's not trying to follow trap rhythms or tones, really. I mean, maybe a little bit in Kids Eat Pills, but that's why I think it's kind of Machine Gun Kelly's fault, is that it's trying too much to capture a pop sound that he very, or like a trap pop sound that he very much is not. Like, I feel like half the time Machine Gun Kelly's trying to do screamo, and then the other half of the time he's trying to be the fourth Migo. Like it's too much of a mismatch for me musically, and it doesn't really work out. But on Kids Eat Pills, on Possible Negative One, on Bad Fruit with Young Earl Sweatshirt, with like,
but I never tripped. It wasn't one of mine. I'm heaven sent. In my mother's eyes, everything I did, kinda undefined. Real dead, real spit, falling out the vine. Man, I was a little kid, living off a vine. The sunset, it was my time, I ain't done yet.
Little volcano, give me space.
Neither of them are really rapping. They're sort of doing like a spoken word singing that's, I can't even, usually when I say spoken word singing, I compare it to like Beck or like some of Damon Albarn and Gorillaz. It's neither of those things. It's very unique. It's very much its own thing.
Exactly. And that's what I love about this record, because like there's so many ideas and so many different sounds and things that are trying to push music further in that way. Like example, after Bad Fruit, you have Zero Heroes, which is this really nice like punk inspired rock track that I really like. And with the way that the sounds are and whatnot and how off-putting it is, it's just, it's experimenting. It's trying different things and it's hitting it very well. It's filling a void that we have right now. A lot of people are trying to make this sound, but they haven't quite nailed it. And to me, this is the first record that has really nailed this sound. I will figure out a, like, you know how we like to invent neopop. I got to figure out a way, like, a way to say this genre and figure out a way I want to do it. For example, like Screwface, like it's that like sunny, like rapping spoken word with a little bit of like screaming in it too. So it's like no one else really makes that sound. Or if they try to, it's very tacky. With Gene Dawson, it's not. You can feel the emotion. You like the lyricism, everything. It's unique. It's like it's just good. The production of it too, it doesn't feel cheap. It feels genuine with it, and it's good.
Yeah, I was. It scratches a certain itch. It's not music I'm listening to all the time, but it's definitely music I'd be in a mood for and I would go to very quickly. And so this is the great shit. This is the stuff that's like really pushing boundaries and pushing what we think of as music forward. So really major highlight of where would we categorize this even? I'm not calling it rap. It's really hard to call it indie.
It's just, it's in its own category. Like,
but I mean, like for the award show list that we're going to have to do over Thanksgiving break.
I need to just figure out a way to categorize it. I don't know.
Yeah, but it is definitely worth categorizing and worth considering. It's very good. For sure.
Yeah.
Arbitrary Scales this week, Arbitrary Scales every week on Audio Face, because our review is our review, and why give it a normal ranking system to make it easier for you to figure out when we just explain it for you. This week it is 2000s rapper political write-ins, and you have any suggestions?
Miss Lauryn Hill.
Ooh. I could give
going
this,
in for the big guns.
I'm gonna give this Lil Wayne, because 2000s Lil Wayne, 2000s Lil Wayne could have run for president.
Lil Wayne was just like definitely could have run for president.
2000s Lil Wayne would have caused Bill Clinton to use the N-word, thereby eliminating Hillary Clinton out of the office and then or out of the presidential run, and then he probably would have caused Barack Obama to use the N-word, which would have made him lose by default as well. Hard R from Obama. That's just how he is. Those quick hits, but no, that's all it. Of Audioface this week. And like I said, we have a lot of stuff on YouTube that is being out and published right now. So check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/audiofacepod. Check out the bonus episodes that we're doing. We actually have, from each bonus episode, I'm posting a YouTube clip of a retro review, basically a classic or notable album. So for the 1975, we did the Black Album. For the Arctic Monkeys, we did AM. But we're basically doing retro reviews of those albums in the lead up to those bands releasing music. So you can check out what we thought about those absolute classic banger albums by going to the YouTube channel. Always support everything we're doing by becoming a Syndicate 23 member. Join us at syndicate23.co. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter at Twitch at Dan from the Web, on Instagram and TikTok at Dan from the Internet. And the entire show can be found in podcast form at audioface.show. Thank you very much for listening. I think next week we actually do have the 1975.
Yep, we do. It starts.
It begins. This is going to be quite a fall. So thank you very much for listening and watching, as always. Cheers.
Cheers. All I'm imagining now is Lil Wayne rolling up to debate Bill Clinton, blasting 6 foot, 7 foot.
Even though this is outside of the 2000s, I would imagine Lil Wayne blasting Mahogany in the White House while getting head, and then sending a B-reel to Bill Clinton.
Mahogany is a good song.
Very.
I like that. It's...